Welcome to The Leap, a success podcast for ambitious leaders. Each week, we bring you the tools, knowledge, and inspiration to fuel your next big leap. Now, here's your host, Harriet Schumacher, leadership expert and executive coach.
Okay. Lisa, here we are, round two.
I know.
So I'm so excited to have you here.
I'm very excited to be here.
We're fired up.
Yes, we are ready.
We are ready on Wednesday to talk about a hot topic. I think that a lot of people are going to find a lot of out of this conversation that we're going to have today. And I just want to say thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
And volunteering to share your voice.
Yes.
And so why don't we get started, though, before we dive into what we're going to talk about today and tell everybody who you are. Yes. What's your story?
So my name is Lisa. Some of you listening may know me and some of you may not. And hopefully, I guess the goal of this conversation is maybe to let people in a little more on who I am, but also maybe to let them in a little more on who they are. It's kind of the goal at the end of the day with this. So I am 28 years old. I am a nurse currently, as well as an instructor at SpinCo. I've been a nurse for 5 years now, and it has taken me out west and brought me back to Nova Scotia. And then I started my instructing journey with SpinCo a little over a year ago. And so I definitely feel like a lot of what I do is that of acts of service in a way. You know, that's the way I show people how I care. But I've also been really lucky that I can find it's made its way into how I make my livelihood. So, yeah, really, really grateful to be able to do those things. And, yeah, I just kind of keep pushing through and finding a little bit more about myself each time I step foot in the hospital or step foot into that spin studio.
Well, my experience of you, and for those of you who may be curious about SpinCo or haven't attended a class at SpinCo, I will take you. We will go together. I will hold your hand. But my journey there started about a year ago as well. And that's where I actually met Lisa. She was an instructor. And actually, I was thinking about this when I wrote this down, is like you, I think one of your acts of service is seeing people, because you reached out to me and you saw me. And I really needed somebody to like see me in a different way than how I show up, you know, professionally.
Right.
And so that really stood out to me that you like took the time to do that. So,
yeah, I think that it's brought so many incredible connections.
Yeah,
it's kind of, I don't know, there was definitely just something that drew me to you from across that room.
I know. I'm like, this is my girl here. All right.
You
so
the rap tunes with me? I was like, oh, clearly we have something in common.
I know. Totally. So yeah, I mean, I think that that's kind of a little bit about what brought us here and wanted us to kind of connect and find a way to be able to share maybe some things that we share in common. And, you know, I wanted to give you an opportunity to get your message across, because it certainly has had a positive impact on me and I'm sure on many other people. And so that's what we're here to do today. So what is it that you want to talk about?
So I think kind of the core of where my idea stemmed from was just a bit of, it started with self-reflection. And the biggest thing for me right now is, we're always kind of navigating life, whether we're doing it on our own or with others. But I really think that the way we navigate life kind of starts with having a really meaningful and valuable relationship with ourselves. And then I think in turn, that is truly what sets the tone for the things that happen around us and the relationships that we build around us as well. So yeah, I just kind of wanted to dive into the layers of that and like what it really means, I guess, to have that sense of self, to keep working on ourselves, but then also how that is going to look and how it's gonna show up in other areas of our lives.
So practicing, sounds like them practicing self-love and understanding how to nurture the relationship that you have with yourself first and foremost.
Yeah. And I think like even moving away from that mainstream idea of self-love and that hashtag of self-love, I think that everybody defines it differently, but I definitely think there's a lot of unknown areas that we can love on ourselves.
Yes.
That aren't found on social media and found from others and in certain spas and secret places. I think, you know, there's more to it than that.
Yeah.
You know, there's more than what it looks like, I guess.
Yeah, on the outside.
More about how it feels.
How it feels. So what kind of led you to discovering this or being curious about this?
So I guess probably over the last, I want to say like 5 years, because it's definitely been a long time coming. I've navigated a lot of different relationships in my life. I have navigated things like the relationship with my mom and, you know, creating really sustainable and meaningful friendships and relationships when it comes to partners and things like that. And for a long time, I kind of felt like I was always searching outside of myself for things that I really didn't realize that I already held or that I just needed to discover about myself. So, you know, that's kind of what brought me back to wanting to talk about this, to kind of remind people that like, that relationship you have with yourself is what really matters first. As much as we, you know, show up for others every day and all these things that we do, to me, self-love is like really bringing it back to your core and like what started everything for you in the first place. Why are your feelings going where they are? What's drawing you to this thing, this person, this hobby, et cetera. It all started from within somehow, somewhere. And I think it's easy sometimes to get lost along the way. So it's like, yeah, how can we kind of check in with ourselves, dial it back a little bit and just continue to develop into, you know, who we are.
Yeah. So sounds more like tapping into inner wisdom.
Totally.
Right.
Absolutely. And wisdom takes time. It does not come when you go to bed and wake up. The wisdom fairy doesn't drop it off. It's like, it is.
I wish.
Yeah. It is a thing that truly, truly takes time. And sometimes I find myself kind of every once in a while, and I know we all do it, another year passes by, another birthday, another milestone in our lives. And the thing that sticks out in our mind might be, oh, I'm getting old, or I'm too old for this. Or I missed this opportunity. And I think that, you know, I always catch myself every once in a while thinking to myself, if I would have known then what I know now, then I could have avoided this, or I could have done this differently. However, there was no way of you knowing that thing then. You had to get to the now to discover it.
Right.
So that's why I think time is this really interesting element in our life that we have decided maybe isn't all that great, but really it can be if you allow it to be, if you kind of embrace that time has to take you places and bring you knowledge and wisdom and all of those things. It makes it a little easier to deal with those birthdays that come up every year and those things.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. My own experience of like I'll be 42 in January. So I remember turning like the time between being 39 and turning to 40, because 40 for women is supposed to be like pack it up, sister.
Yeah, like, the end all be all.
It's a steady decline. And I remember feeling the anxiety of that birthday and being like, I just want to ride out 39 for as long as I possibly can. And then
especially as a woman.
Especially as a woman, right?
Men get to get like sexier and cooler and salt and peppery, and we're like we're
covering it all up.
Yeah, those appointments at the salon and this and that. And it's like, no, no.
It's true. So I think that time is a luxury. Yeah. And I think it's really about, for me now that I've had, you know, 2 years into being 40, it's gotten so much better. Because I've opened it up. It's so much better.
Yeah.
I encourage you all to just get older faster, because it's just going to be much easier. But then there's other things that come with it too. Then you start to look at the next part of your life and you get that like, wow, how much time do I have left? And just everything changes. Your whole perspective on time and how you spend it changes.
Yes.
So we talked about this idea prior to coming in here, this idea of radical self-love. And what does that mean to you?
I think it means there's definitely the word radical, I think, is really interesting. And I actually had to look up what it means. And one of the just because I really I did want to have a better understanding of it. It's like I thought I knew what it meant. But one of the words that really stuck out to me was thorough. It's like a thorough self-love. So it means you're getting in all the nooks and crannies. You're uncovering the good, the bad, and the ugly, and you're being okay with it.
Right.
Which I think is the constant little circle of life, the little battle that we go through, especially as women. You know, there's a big, big spotlight on us these days to be the best, hottest, most fit, you know, version of ourselves. And the interesting thing is a lot of what I see when that pressure is on people is so much about it revolves around the looks and the this and the that. How can I make myself appear amazing and great? But it's like, how do you actually feel on the inside? Because we can all go out and perform and we can show up and do things and we can give our best and, you know, and things can work out really well when we do that. But it's like, how do you actually feel about it? Like how, what's actually happening inside? Do you have resentment towards yourself because you're showing up, but you're not really all in it to win it kind of thing? Like, I don't know. I just feel like there's this battle that we're always going back and forth with. And it's like, how can we kind of stop that back and forth and get to a place where it's like, no, I am actually really good with myself and I am happy and I'm okay with change coming and I'm okay with it not. And I don't know, just finding that place of being good with who you are and happy, but still striving for more.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I think wanting more is, is our birthright. Like I think that we are allowed to want more and there's nothing wrong with that. It sounds like then you're saying that the challenge is when we're forgetting, we're losing sight of what we've already got in the process of trying to find something else.
Or rushing that timeline.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And
take it, waiting for the leaps and the bounds that you thought were going to happen, but really you didn't realize that it was like little baby step.
Yeah.
A couple, maybe a few back. Maybe sometimes you fall back even further than what your starting point was. Who knows? But I just think that it's like, you know, we have this idea because all we ever see are people's leaps and bounds that they take. We don't see all the nitty gritty stuff in the middle that happened. Right.
Yeah.
And that took so much time.
It took so much time. It's so true because, well, nobody's really, I mean, we've talked about this before. Like people aren't sharing the faults. People aren't sharing the cracks in the foundation. Not as many are as are celebrating, you know, putting out the, you know, perfectly kind of polished image. And I understand why that is. I think that the risk in that though is that there can be like a lack of compassion for what we're actually going with, going for, striving towards. And I think that self-love, like radical self-love, is compassion, meaning like
I'm accepting myself for everything in between when I was in that shitty space to now that I'm getting into this better space, like that, and all the movement that takes place in between, the tears, the sweat, the cuts, the bruises, you know, I think that's the big thing. And I think that's why I also really thrive on people that want to like share their story full on and want to speak a little uncensored, tell you what they're really all about, tell you where they've been, talk about where they want to go. Like I really thrive off that. And I think that, you know, that really came from a space of where I was working on self-love with, you know, honesty.
Yeah.
Let's be all the way 100% with each other. And also let me be really honest with myself so that that relationship for me can grow, but also you and I can grow, our relationship can grow because we're keeping it real with each other too.
This is so huge because I think that, you know, and this might be a bit risky to say, but I'm going to say it in the spirit of what you just called out. I'm going to say it. So here's why, because I went through this period like a couple of probably 6 months ago where I felt exhausted from self-improvement. And it was like, how much more striving and improvement can we do?
And can I post on social media? Can I talk about what
right.
everyone?
And so in the middle of that, I'm all for it. Keep doing it. Mm-hmm. Keep growing. Keep learning. I'm in this business too, right? Mm-hmm. But I think at some point there's a breaking point, which is like, let's be honest and sincere in the pursuit of self-improvement.
Yeah.
And you said something once, and I remember, like, it hit me across the head. I was like, yes, if I could do that in class, I would. And I might one day. You might just hear me say, yes, 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 amen.
I encourage that.
But you said something about, and I won't probably won't do it as justice. I want you to talk about it a bit.
Oh, that's okay.
It was about like embracing the destruction
mm-hmm.
of whatever it is that you're currently building
uh-huh.
so that you can start to reshape.
Yes.
Who you actually are. So
yes.
Talk to me about that.
So I think I was reading about someone had written something about comparing our the building of ourselves, the becoming of who we are
mm-hmm.
to that of refurbishing
a home,
renovating
mm-hmm.
and et cetera, et cetera. And ironically enough, a big part of the reason why it spoke to me, and this will get a little bit deeper into, I guess, part of my story, but last year, two of my grandparents passed away back to back within 3 months. And I'm a pretty family oriented gal. So
mm-hmm.
that was a rough little patch for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And the really cool thing was, you know, in the midst of the transition
mm-hmm.
to no longer having those people in my life, my mom had actually bought my grandparents' home.
Mm.
She had ripped it apart. She had completely taken it down to its bones.
Mm-hmm.
And she renovated it. And it's so beautiful. And, you know, we got to watch the phase of that. And it was almost like we were moving through those phases too.
Mm-hmm.
We had gone through a loss. It really sucked.
Mm-hmm.
It was really awful. So many people can relate to loss on so many different levels. It doesn't
mm-hmm.
have to be a death. It can
mm-hmm.
be a loss of a friend, a loss of a lover, of
a
child,
job.
A job,
mm-hmm.
you know, any kind of thing,
mm-hmm.
Or person, place, whatever it may be. But if you are willing to deal with that bad part, that part
right.
that is hard, that is ugly, where the tears are flowing, and sometimes you say the things you don't mean, and you do the things you don't, what you wish you didn't do.
Mm-hmm.
There is so much rebuilding that happens in that time frame, in that
mm-hmm.
space, in that point of movement. And it was really cool to kind of watch that. And it was very much like this moment for me of I would go over to the house and I would see what was going on with it, and it was down to the bare bones.
Mm-hmm.
Like the foundation was there. It was
right.
solid. The bones of the house were good.
Mm-hmm.
And there was so much, there was something so beautiful that was about to be built.
Right.
You're on. So I think for me, when I read this whole thing and it was talking about, you know, we all want the end result now. Of course we do. We would
mm-hmm.
love to be able to snap our fingers and wake up and have all the things that we want to be, the person we want to be. But it's that time where it's like there has to be a breakdown first.
Yep.
That you have to be knocked off your high horse a little bit.
Yep.
Easy doesn't ensue change. It doesn't
mm-hmm.
it doesn't bring it on.
Yep.
The easy route, the easy path, easy road. It's not really for anyone.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, so I think for me, I was like, I read it and I was like, that's right. That is right on the
I know.
Money.
And when you said, I was like, uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember it struck as such an emotional chord for me because I, you know, I've had ups and downs. Like life is a roller coaster. You think that life is going to follow a straight line and it
yeah.
rarely does. And
yeah.
you have setbacks and you have
yeah.
things that can, you know, tear you apart. And to me, it's like I think that we can feel shame about those experiences
mm-hmm.
in our life. Like
mm-hmm.
almost like, because there is this idealized state of perfectionism that's happening that we're consuming that through social
yeah.
media all day long,
yes.
like from, you know, filtering ourselves to look
yes.
perfect online to
yeah.
all of, I don't even know what they are because
yeah.
I'm old, but all these like apps that you make yourself look flawless on and
yeah.
all that kind of stuff. Like that is what we see all day long.
Yeah.
And so being like destructive in any or embracing that or celebrating that
mm-hmm.
to me is almost like I needed to really hear that message because I felt
mm-hmm.
such shame for the shitty parts of my life.
Right.
And I've hid from that and created like unhealthy, I don't know, unhealthy things around myself. Yeah. So I heard that and I was like, yeah, I can actually be proud of those things because that's what's helped me to grow.
Yes. And once the destruction actually happens and you make it through and you realize it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
Then that's the thing. If you give yourself the opportunity to kind of break down, sit with it for a minute, the really amazing part of it is, and just like as you watch your home be renovated, as you watch anything start to take form, the immense and overwhelming sense of pride you then are flooded with is really incredible. And so it's like, I'm telling you, if you can just get past that scary, hard part on the other side, and I say this all the time too, like the things that you do want and the place that you do want to be is right on the other side of fear, but you just got to get through that part.
Right.
And we can't put a timeline on it. We can't say it's going to be quick. It's going to take a while.
Right.
We don't know, and you can't rush it. Mm-hmm. So it's like, that's the thing. It's like having that endurance to be like, I know it's another not great day today, but you gotta keep going. You gotta keep flipping the pages. You gotta keep moving through your chapter, things like that, you know?
So, I think that kind of segues nicely into something else that I wanted to talk with you about, which is, you know, this whole idea of, you know, loving ourselves and having a healthy relationship with ourselves and, you know, talking about how do we practice more acceptance and self-love. And so I think that it's very easy to do that. It's easy to practice self-love when everything is going well.
Yes.
And I think it's much harder. I think the place where we all need to practice, myself included, is practicing self-love when things are not going well, like practicing it in the dark.
Yes.
When you are feeling shame, when you're hating on yourself, when you're judging yourself, when you're envious or you're not enough, and when nobody is watching.
Yeah.
So how do you do that? What's your advice for those who might be going through some tough times?
I mean, there's lots of different tools I've learned over the years, and things that you can do. I think a big part of it starts with honesty and accountability.
Okay.
Understanding how you actually feel and giving yourself a minute to feel it. I think that we have so much fear around all of the quote unquote negative feelings in our lives, like sadness and anxiety is so massive right now. We can even take it as far as to say depression, you know, like these things are very relevant.
And real.
In everybody's day-to-day life.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's like, I use the word honesty as this huge umbrella term because it's like, you know, in the dark, on your own, by yourself, being honest with how you feel, thinking about it, and then kind of deciding, okay, now what's my next move with this? And what is it that I do need? Is today a day that I need to spend the day at home on my own? Is today a day I need to... What is the self-love going to look like today?
Right.
Is it going to be treating myself to my favorite restaurant? Is it going to be going and getting my hair done? Or is it just going to be resting and recharging? Is it going to be reaching out to someone that I need, that I just really want to talk to?
Right.
One of my friends is going to support me. Like, I think that there's no way to define it. And that's why I say, like, move away from that hashtag of self-love and this and that. And just think about what it is. Be honest with yourself with what it is that you're feeling and what it is you need in that moment. Self-love never looks the same over and over again.
Right.
It's always changing. It's always evolving because so are our feelings and our emotions.
Totally.
So it's like that's part of the discovering yourself. And it can be fearful, but can also be so cool and exciting if you let it be.
Yep.
You know?
I mean, I think it's just huge to think about accepting the darker periods of our lives and being able to be compassionate about those things, those like bad choices that not necessarily bad choices, but the choices that we made that led us to a less than desirable outcome.
Yes.
Or the bad move, or I said something that I didn't intend. And like, that's where the anxiety comes from. The anxiety comes from the fear, the judgment, the perceptions, the worry of what everybody else is going to think. And I think that's the place where we don't practice self-love because we then sit and have a conversation with ourselves that we you know, we hate on ourselves.
Yeah.
And so the moment for me, when you said that, it was like all the lights went on because mm-hmm. I was able to be like, I can accept these low points in my life. Yeah. I can actually say, girl, you wouldn't be where you are right now if you hadn't
yes,
had those experiences, right? So it's like, you have to learn how to practice self-love, not just when things are going well, because that's easy, but
yes.
learn to do it when things are dark.
Absolutely.
Which is one of the reasons why I love coming to spin class, because you get
yeah.
to do it in the dark.
Yeah.
And nobody can see
nobody
your ugly cry on your face.
Me,
exactly. Right. I think that's a place where you can practice it.
Yeah.
But I think it's, you know, it's that, and it's more than that. It's a
yeah.
daily practice.
Yeah.
So, you know, so acceptance.
Yeah.
Accepting what is and kind of meeting yourself where you're
yeah.
at.
And for me, I always just so much stress the word honesty
mm-hmm.
because I think that we have decided that honesty means what I'm telling you. I'm being mm-hmm. honest with what I'm telling you. But am I being honest with the thoughts that I'm going home with after
right.
all that
yep.
and how I feel about myself, et cetera, et cetera. Like,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's accountability on a whole other level
mm-hmm.
when it's with yourself. I remember the very first time that I started working with a life coach after I'd gone through something traumatic in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And the one of the very first things we talked about, and she said, this is not going to work if you are not honest with me, but also if you're not honest with
yourself. Yeah.
And a big part of that was acceptance, maybe acceptance of what I've gone through,
yep.
acceptance of how I was feeling about myself, where I was at.
Mm-hmm.
There were absolutely conversations that were shameful, that I was not proud of the
yep.
things I had said, done, etc.
Mm-hmm.
But a big lesson in it all was also just kind of, you know, learning to forgive myself
mm-hmm.
for how I reacted in a traumatic event, the things that I said, the way I showed up or didn't,
mm-hmm.
you know, all of those things. I think that was a big part of it. And I think it's a big part that we kind of lose sight of. We act and react, and then we allow anxiety to creep in, as opposed to giving ourselves a little bit of grace and maybe
yeah.
giving ourselves a little bit of forgiveness and understanding. We look for it from others, but we don't give it to ourselves. So I might be looking for you to tell me, it's okay, Lisa, that you felt this way. And it's
mm-hmm.
okay that you said that. And I forgive you.
Mm-hmm.
But if I don't forgive
myself,
me,
yeah.
well, I'm still probably going to be sitting in the same spot I've been sitting for
mm-hmm.
a little while. So I think that's a really big thing too. And that's been a huge work in progress for myself. Absolutely. Over the last couple of years, for sure, for sure.
That's huge. Like
mm-hmm.
forgiveness is, I think, the most radical form of self-love that you can
mm-hmm.
have.
Mm-hmm. Because we make choices every single day.
Mm-hmm.
We make a million choices, from what we want in our coffee to, you know, for you, even just a little, the things that are mindless choices.
Yep.
What you're going to throw in the oven for the kids for supper.
Totally.
You know, it's stuff like that. And I think that it's like we make all these choices, and at the end of the day, we can sit and worry if
mm-hmm.
we made the right choice, the wrong choice. Did I pick soy milk or almond milk? Did I
mm-hmm.
feed my kids enough vegetables? Did I get enough exercise today? This, that, and the other thing. We can overanalyze.
Yep.
But it's like you have to give yourself a little bit of grace there
mm-hmm.
and be like, I got through the day. I gave myself what I needed. I did what I had to do.
Totally.
Kids are in bed. I'm good with me. My dog's in her.
Mm-hmm.
She's good. Everyone's got a full belly. Whatever it was. Whatever
mm-hmm.
needed to be done that day got done.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to go back and analyze every little thing
mm-hmm.
because I think that's a big place for anxiety
to grow
and fester. And then you carry that through. You go to bed with that on your chest. How do you think you're going to wake up?
Mm-hmm.
You know? So yeah, I think I've been using the word grace
I love
a
that
lot
word.
Lately.
Mm-hmm.
But it's true. It's because that's, you can, to me, it's like when you talk about giving yourself a grace period, allowing yourself
mm-hmm.
a little space, a little bit of time. Sometimes that's all you need.
I love that.
Yeah.
I think that's really good. I love that word, grace. It just
mm.
gives me a calming
mm-hmm.
vibe, like when I think about that. And
yeah.
I had a thought and it's gone out of my brain, but that's okay because it will come back. But I think one of the things that I have been noticing,
mm-hmm.
and this won't be as graceful as it comes out of my mouth right now, but that's okay.
Okay.
Is one of the things that I'm going to talk about right now is just this whole belief that a way of practicing self-love is to like not care about the impact that other people might be having on you.
Yes.
And being kind of like, well, like, I don't care what you think about me, or I don't need you, or like, whatever. And I mean, there's kind of like this, I mean, I think you know what I'm talking about. Like, you know, I have these boundaries that are around myself. For like, sure. I'm impenetrable. I've created this like armor around myself.
Yeah. I'm hard, right?
Hard as a rock. So like, you know, I've seen these like hashtags, which is like, you know, no fucks given stuff, and like, I don't care or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I think so this whole idea of like, no fucks given.
Yes.
And I saw somebody post something about this recently, and, you know, they were like making a big deal about it. Like, okay, well, this is going to be my new philosophy for 2020. Like, I'm creating space for myself. I'm giving myself a grace period.
Right.
Meaning like, I don't care about y'all because I'm all good. And I was like, I can appreciate that.
Yeah.
I get it.
I get the principle maybe behind it.
Right. Mm-hmm. But I just don't know if that's necessarily a way of practicing compassion.
There's a book, hey?
Oh, is there? There is.
The art of not giving
up. Right. I mean, yeah, it's everywhere. That's true. If you go to the bookstore, it's like tables and tables of this whole philosophy.
Yes. And maybe it's not the message, but a lot of the time it is the delivery, because it's like, I'm so strong. I am so...
Right.
You can't budge me. Then nothing is going to phase me. And it's like, well, let's keep it all the way real.
Uh-huh.
I might be able to put that front on right now, right here with you. But then I might go home and cry.
Right.
So it turns out it's that maybe I do give a little bit of a, you know what.
And I think that we need to. But I think that there's a place where we... Like, I think we need to take things seriously. I think we need to take our lives seriously. We need to take our work seriously. We need to take our relationships seriously. And everybody who is like, that to me is like, whatever. Like, that whole idea is like, whatever. Yeah. I'm not fazed.
Yeah.
To me, I think that that's where we run into trouble, because we're not doing the work.
Yeah. Well, I said earlier to you, like, it's a defense mechanism.
Right.
For something else. Something else that I think a big part of it is, and one of the reasons why I can understand it and can relate on some sort of level, is because I think we have all experienced things in our lives that were out of our control, but that was the big struggle. Mm-hmm. So we maybe felt like it was our fault. There was something we could have done to prevent it.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, if we now are so hard that nothing can hurt us like that thing did, then life will be so much better.
So much better.
You know, or if we can create, if we can become smarter and better and harder than everyone else around us, those things would never even come up. Those things would never happen to us. But the reality is out of your control. It's out of your control. It's going to show up whether you're hard as nails or soft as a marshmallow.
Right.
It's still coming your way, whatever that life thing is. And so I get that, because I went through a phase in my life where I was like, you know, I would start a sentence with, I would never be someone who, I would never be that woman who, I would never let so-and-so do this to me, treat me this way. I would never let these things in. So if I just have those blinders up, if I've got my shield up, whatever, then they just can't, nothing can get to me, and I'm good. I'm safe. I'm strong. But the reality of it is like, oh no, actually quite the opposite. Those things are still going to show up, and they're just going to affect you a little differently, or they might just take a little longer to show up, the effects that they have on you.
Right. I think that's the time variable, right? It's like, I'm either going to deal with things and tackle them head on as they arise, or I'm just going to. So what do you think is the connection then between this whole, like, because I think there's two camps. Well, there's probably more than two camps. There's lots of camps, but we're just talking about two right now. Because I'm always trying to look at like the tension between something, or like two different views on things. And so we've got this one camp over here, which is like, you can't hurt me, right? And yeah, I'm good. I'm strong. You know, nothing will break me down.
Yep.
And then there's this other camp, which can be like, I'm a people pleaser. And so what do you think is the difference between those two things?
So the funny thing is, I feel like in some way, shape, or form, it's like that quote unquote self-love that falls in the middle.
Right.
So it's like, you can't post up at one or the other. You can't go pitch your tent over with the not caring people.
Flipping the bird people.
For a few weeks and be like, nah, you know. okay, that's cool and everything. Mm-hmm. And now I'm going to pack my stuff up and I'm going to head over to the people pleasers.
Right.
See how that works.
See how that works out.
Because we all do that. We go back and forth in this and mm-hmm. that. And I think that the strongest place that you can be is kind of in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of things that we're going to do in our lives unapologetically.
Yep.
We just have to choose what those things are and what we want them to be. Like, I can say that I want to show up in my life as who I am. I don't want to apologize for that.
Right.
I'm a very, I know what some of my strengths and some of my weaknesses are.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people around me also probably have a different perspective of my strengths and weaknesses.
Mm-hmm.
But I know for me, for example, your girl likes to chat.
Right.
There's no question. I got some things to say.
Yeah.
And I can be a little loud. I can be a lot sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I used to, you know, really feel badly if someone would comment on that.
Mm-hmm.
You're so chatty,
mm-hmm.
kind of loud sometimes, let someone else speak.
Right.
And I think it was more like, so the people pleaser in me mm-hmm. could have been like, okay, I'm zipping it up. I'm locking it up. That's it. I'm
right.
not sharing my thoughts and feelings anymore.
Yeah.
And then the I don't care part of me could have been like, screw that. I've got a million things to say and you're going to hear me. I am woman. Hear me roar. So the the middle ground where I could shift my perspective,
mm-hmm.
this is where self-love comes in, is like I'm looking at all of these things and maybe I'm taking some feedback. Maybe I'm thinking how I feel about it,
mm-hmm.
reflecting, whatever. And I'm just shifting my perspective. I have something to say and I want to say it,
mm-hmm.
but I've really got to give some thought about how I'm going to deliver it. I don't
right.
need to be loud and this and that and the other thing.
Mm-hmm.
I can still get my point across. Maybe I need to just go about it a different way.
Mm-hmm.
I still want to be heard. I still, you know, and I still am a strong person for that,
mm-hmm.
but I don't have to come at you or them with it from all angles.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's about kind of discovering other characteristics about yourself and how you can exercise those strengths of yours
mm-hmm.
and still feed into those weaknesses a little bit and recognize them, value them, and use them too. Like, I think it's
mm-hmm.
just, it's all about this like balance and this juggling act that we do in life. But when you get into that little middle space where you're like, I hear what you're saying. I know I'm chatty. I know I'm loud, but I also don't want to stop.
Right.
Saying what I have to say.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like find that middle space. Honor who you are. But we can still, there's still room to work. There's still room to compromise.
Right.
I don't have to be like,
I'm open.
Mm, exactly. I'm open to changing, to growth, to
mm-hmm.
compromise,
mm-hmm.
molding a little bit. But I can still maintain my core values. I think
yes.
it's like this worry that the people who don't want to care are so worried that they have to give up who they are. And it's
mm-hmm.
like, no.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to go and go to the other end of the spectrum. You can truly just say, I still want to be me,
mm.
but maybe I just got to do that in a different way or in a different way that works. I need to find what works for all everybody.
So here's what I've discovered
mm-hmm.
is that we will always either be too much or not enough for everybody.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
So part of me is like, I'm over there on the whatever camp more
uh-huh.
so than the other camp.
Yeah.
But it is a balance because
you're like drinking and partying on the weekend with the no fucks given.
Totally.
But then like Monday to Thursday.
I'm giving some fucks.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you know, but I say that because I want to grow and I want to improve and I want to make
yeah.
an impact. Not
yeah.
because I don't care.
Yes.
Not because I don't care about the impact that I'm having.
Yeah.
So, but I do realize that, you know, there will always be people who will be like, yeah, well, you don't have, you know, you're too much of something or you're not enough of something.
Mm.
And I really get to decide.
Yes.
So the beautiful thing is that the feedback that we receive, we are in control with what we want to do with
yeah.
that.
Well, choice. There always.
Always.
And it's like, you know, sometimes people say, I don't even want to know. I'd rather just not know.
Mm.
Oh, no. I want to know.
You already know what it is.
Yeah.
I would say if you're really self-aware, you already know what it is. That's why you don't want to know.
Yeah.
Because you already know what the message is and you're hiding from the truth that exists there.
Yeah.
So better to know.
It
makes it too real. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a question that I have carried with me a long time.
Yeah.
Is that question, like, what am I pretending not to know?
Right. What am I turning my blinders on to?
Totally. Because we're really good at that.
Oh, got him.
Totally.
Yeah.
Which I think that that's some of what that camp is, that like, I don't care, you can't hurt me stuff. Yeah. It's kind of like, oh, well, I don't want to know. Yeah. And so I'm just going to push you aside and create this like barrier that protects me from growth.
Yeah. And in that little campsite in there too.
We've like devised a whole little community over
here. No, but there's also one thing that I've learned along this journey in my life too, is that in there, it's not even so much. One thing that I always find interesting is when you meet people too, that it's not even so much like, I mean, I don't care, yes falls in there, but it's like, I'm not willing to change. Take me or leave me. As
right. Yeah, that's big.
And I find that's a big one in that search for your relationships, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, here I am. I have really worked hard on myself lately. And now maybe, who knows, maybe I'm going to go delve into the dating world, or maybe I'm going to just go make some new friends or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
So you meet someone, it's all good. Everyone's vibing, happy, all good. And then conflict arises. A little something comes up. Mm-hmm. Maybe you discover that you have two separate opinions, two different, you know, core values. Maybe it feels like a little bit of a headbutt. And you get to these little crossroads sometimes where it's like, okay, so here one of us might be willing to compromise. And then maybe the other person's like, well, this is what I think, and this is what I feel, and there's nothing you can say or do that's going to change that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a big part of it too. It's like another, I don't know, there's a fear there for some people that it's like, if I let this guard down and if I open myself up to your ideas, your thoughts, your feelings, if I broaden my horizons a little bit here, that's like a little too scary.
Right.
So I got to stick to my guns here, because there can't be too much leeway there. It's like, that's too scary.
So that just kind of blew my brain up a second here, because I think like it's so honest. And how many people have we all met that it's like, well, I am who I am and you're not going
to
change me.
And how many times have we tried to be people too?
Right.
For sure.
So, but the other thing, the edge with this, I think, is that in, you know, the self-improvement world, there is a lot of messaging that it's so complex. There's a lot of messaging out there about, you know, being authentic. And authentic can come with some of those.
It's a big word.
And so sometimes authenticity can sound like and look like, I am who I am.
Take me or leave me,
because this is my authentic self. And I love that. Like, I get that. Like, you know who you are, put your stake in the ground and claim your turf and do all that.
Yeah.
But the dark side of that can be, well, nothing that I do, like, I'm not willing to take responsibility or accountability for the impact that my authenticity may have on you, because sometimes we're just jerks.
That's
just honest.
And it makes it hard to navigate life. And sometimes that's the thing. And that's where it comes back to, if we want to pull this whole thing together, is it like somehow it finds its way back to, then you are left with not a whole lot of meaningful relationships, not much of a meaningful relationship with yourself.
Right.
Because the hardness and that exterior and the armor and the staking your claim and claiming your turf, and this is it, and I'm not moving, I'm not budging. Everybody else around us keeps moving because they've been open. They've been ready to take a step sideways, backwards, forwards, wherever it is they're going, but they're not staying in one spot. And then all of a sudden you're like, well, here I am all by myself in my one little spot that I claim because I'm a badass.
Right.
And it's actually not all that great. If we're going to bring honesty back into it, I don't feel good here now.
Right.
I felt good in the beginning because I was like, listen to me, hear what I have to say. But then after, you're kind of left like, it's a little chilly back here by myself, you know?
Air's getting a little thin.
Everybody's
moved on. I have nobody to light my fire with me. So that's interesting, because I think, you know, we're talking about being vulnerable and really talking about being able to open yourself up to growth, and that is a form of taking it even back full circle. Is really, now when I look at it, is the most like honest form of self-love that you can actually have, which means being open to where you've been wrong.
Where you've been, where you want to go,
where you've been wrong, the choices that you've made. And so accepting the journey and the process and where you have gone, where you are now. in order to help you get where it is that you really want to go.
Yeah.
So I think that, you know, you mentioned relationships. So I want to spend some time talking about relationships.
Sure.
And so I think life is relationships. I think all day long we're either building or destroying relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And I read somewhere that we are the sum of the five people that we surround ourselves with.
Yes.
So what matters to you in building relationships?
So for me, oh gosh, it's like such a broad statement. I actually recently had this conversation with someone.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking more about in the sense of partnership, building love. But I think a lot of characteristics can translate to mm-hmm. friendships, relationships with your family.
Yep.
And I think for me, what I have learned in my life is a big thing that we all do. Let's say we meet someone new and it's exciting and we either want to be their best friend or their boyfriend or their girlfriend or their whatever friend or their chosen sister. You use that term sometimes, this, mm-hmm. that, and the other thing. And it's like, you know, so now I got to change all these things about me to make sure that they fall in love with me, to make mm-hmm. sure that they, you know. So I think those are the things that I used to do. So that was a learning curve for me, because mm-hmm. then you end up in the lonely side of things because your true colors come through. And I think, so I think the coolest and greatest thing you can do and the greatest gift you can offer someone through a relationship is your true colors, like exactly mm-hmm. who you are, the nitty gritty stuff.
Yeah.
You know, because we all have so many incredible things to offer. But at the end of the day, we've all got our little suitcase of baggage behind us on wheels that you know, that we take around. And we've got our life experience. And like you said, with time, we've got our wisdom. And we've got negatives, positives, and everything in between. So I think it's like, how incredible is it and how meaningful it is when you can speak to someone and create a relationship with them that is solely built on honesty,
mm-hmm.
because there's just so many amazing things that can grow from that. Trust, you create this, like I said, foundation, no cracks. It is mm-hmm. solid. The bones are good.
Mm-hmm.
And really just in the last couple of years is when I've really started to, I feel like it was like, I started to realize, but there was a whole change when I actually started to implement those things.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I remember one of the first steps I took with like full blown honesty was a few years ago when I started dating a guy, and there were some things about myself that weren't all that great, or things I had been through that mm-hmm. were ugly and not, you know, and losses I had gone through and stuff like that. And we were just upfront from the get go. Mm-hmm. And it was like, I could continue to allow this relationship to develop and feel so good about it because honesty lived there first,
mm-hmm.
and everything else kind of flowed after.
So why do we want to then, because I think that this is like a thread that has woven through this whole conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Why do we want to hide parts of ourselves? Why do we want to hide the realities of what is going on?
The fear and the anxiety that grows and lives in that little space of like taking that risk.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, here's the risk. We're on one side. Fear is kind of standing right there. So it's like we can try to move through it, but it's, yeah. It's, and I think it comes back to,
what are we afraid of?
Rejection.
Yeah.
You know?
Totally.
Yeah. That is the word. Like, it's like, they're not going to like me. And then how that makes me feel.
And so the connection between this and self-love is what?
Well, we fear we'll reject ourselves,
right?
You know, if that honesty element is missing.
Clearly we're rejecting who we truly are.
Yeah.
If we're hiding parts of ourselves.
Absolutely. And it's like that there, you, and right then and there, we can so easily say, well, without that honesty and without all these things, we can't develop a relationship with someone else. Well, what, how in the heck can we develop one
with
ourselves if it doesn't live there either? That's the tone.
It totally sets the tone.
Mm-hmm.
So, but we hide parts of ourselves, not only in terms of how we build relationships with people, because I mean, I've done that strategy too. It's like, let me just present like the best version of myself.
Totally. It's like, I'm not even making this up. Here are my really great qualities.
Here's my resume of all of my most admirable
traits.
Don't
worry, this stuff is real. And I am the
But
bomb.
There's some other stuff.
Ding a little deeper. Yeah.
Behind door number two, over here, is my, you know, less than desirable past.
Exactly. It's so true, though. It's like, I'm not being, it's not that I'm not being, I'm not lying.
No.
Not, it's just a little fib.
Yeah.
Fiblet. Just
a fiblet.
Just a little piece, you know, that we're going to leave behind.
I'll let you figure that out later. Once we've established this really trusting relationship, then,
well,
then I'll let you in.
In the dump truck.
Yeah, because that's going to be so good for building trust once I let you, like, into the other side of things. Yeah, so good. So good. I'll bring the crazy out later. But for now, I'm, like, amazing. So I think that that's so true. I think that's a strategy that a lot of us have taken to, like, find a romantic partner, if you want to call it that. That's definitely how we do it. I think that part of that is just, like, evolutionary. I think that's just, like, part of how we're wired.
Right.
No, but then,
survival of the fittest.
Right, now.
I don't know what it is these days.
But it's like also we do that on social media. Mm-hmm. It's like we hide the less than desirable parts of ourselves all over the place. Mm-hmm. And I think internally, like what I'm getting out of this conversation and I'm hoping other people are getting out of this is that when we are hiding the honesty,
yes,
we're not actually loving ourselves. And how can we possibly get a meaningful relationship if that is not the foundation?
Mm-hmm. I really never realized how important my relationship with myself was until, like, recently, like, in the last year or two. I think there's a lot of stages that you go through in life when you are learning things and discovering things, and this is where we get back to that time. You can't put a timeline on it. But the biggest, my biggest point in that is that it really can't be rushed. But I am grateful with where I'm at in my life that I'm learning these lessons now, because a lot of these lessons can take people years to learn if they ever do.
Right.
And, you know, I look around, it's so funny because I used to be a young woman that compared myself, my body, my face, how I look, how I dress, all of the things you want, all of the things, all of what society has deemed the most desirable things to have. So whatever that may be and whatever that looks like. And, you know, and it's so funny because I love the quote or saying that it's like, you know, if they could see themselves through my eyes. So it's like, when I look at you and I do see all your great qualities, I know that there's some stuff there, but it's like, because we've been able to connect and build a meaningful relationship, I can see the real people, the real ones in your life will see past that stuff.
Yeah.
So you can be honest up front. And guess what? The reality of it is, the harsh reality is that if there can't be acceptance there from party B over there that you want in your life, then that's okay. And they were not meant to be there. They walked in to serve maybe a temporary purpose, and they can keep it moving, because that's the thing. It's like, that element of I'm gonna let you in on something really deeper, a big secret of mine. And I'm telling you this because I'm trying to create a foundation for trust, a place that we can build from. You know, one thing that I really was kind of vibing off of today was the saying that once you've experienced so much of life, we're never starting from scratch. We're only starting from experience.
Totally.
We take every experience with us and we overanalyze it. And then it's like, okay, how can I do this better next time? But I think the reality of it is, it's not about doing things better. Sometimes it is just about doing them a little different. Just the littlest bit, 1% to the left, to the right, to the front, to the back. Doesn't have to be always bigger and better and more than. Sometimes it just has to be a little different. And I think that is a huge, huge part of self-love. We look for these great changes and leaps and bounds. And it's like, no, you can just dial it a little this way. You can take a step back, a step away. You can take a step ahead. You can propel yourself forward wherever it is that you need to get to that space where you're like, okay, let's keep it real, real.
Right.
You know,
I think one of the things, like, as I've just been listening to you talking, one of the things that I think a lot of people are worried about, and you've probably experienced it, I know that I have too, is that when you share your story and you're honest with people, sometimes people don't protect that.
I'm choking on my water.
She is going to choke. And so like in this whole topic of like having meaningful relationships, to me, a meaningful relationship means if I'm going to be vulnerable with you, I think it's one of the reasons why we don't, I'm really going to trust you and I'm going to put it out from the gate, then this is not your story to share.
Right. Huge. Massive.
I don't think people do a good job with that.
No. And I even know myself. I've been that person. I've been shared information and it seems so burning hot. I got to go share with my best friend. Mm-hmm. But then my best friend might go share it with their
best
friend.
Because it doesn't matter to them in the same way.
One situation that I learned too was a friend of mine, and it was some information that she shared with her boyfriend about someone else. Mm-hmm. And again, or I've even had conversations with my own mother.
Mm-hmm.
That's
where we learn it.
Right. That I'm like, I'll be, talking with my mom here. My mom and I are sitting having a glass of wine. We're chatting, we're catching up on life. And then a few weeks later, I might get together for dinner with my mom and her best friend. And all of a sudden, it's like her
best friend
knows
the whole story.
All the biz. And I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And, you know, I get that that is just part of who we are. We connect and thrive through, like, different topics and whatever it may be. And so I've definitely had to have conversations with people and be like, you know, I'm telling you this. Mm-hmm. And you only.
Right.
And so, and you know what I will say too, that I, on the other spectrum of that, because it's like, I could be upset with you that I shared something with you and you went and told someone and whatever, but at the end of the day, it was, you made a choice. You know, I gave you something and you made a choice with it. And then I just have to decide how I want to react.
Right.
Because at the end of the day, we can sit here and wallow in the shame of, oh, now this person knows my story, whatever. Mm-hmm. Doesn't change the fact that that is who I am and that is, you know.
So we're going to all give ourselves a little permission slip here.
Yeah.
Number one, ladies.
Ladies.
If your girl comes to you and tells you something, recognize that it is not your story to share. Like, that is a way that we can be better for friendships, friends to each other.
And value the fact that
she's opening up to you,
like,
taking a risk.
You're my person today.
So that, number one, I think we could all do a better job on that.
Yes.
It is not our story to be talking about. We should not be talking about other people behind their back. Number one. Number two, and that is getting in the way of women being able to feel like
other women have their back.
That we have each other's back.
What your weaknesses and going
right.
to share it, right?
With other people to tear you down. Mm-hmm. Oh! God, I hate that.
And we've all done it. Yes.
It is something that it's just prolific in our
species.
Gender. And then, so that's number one. Number two, I love what you just said about, okay, so if I'm going to really be honest and sincere and I'm going to practice really radical self-love for myself, then I'm going to be okay with my story. Mm. And I'm going to go out there and I'm going to share my story with people.
Yeah.
And if you go around and decide to mop to everybody about it behind my back, then I'm just going to have to accept that I made that choice to share it with you and I'm okay with that because I'm putting
it
out there.
Because I'm okay with who I am.
I'm okay with who I am.
Yes.
Can we get a high five for this right now? Because I am just like all over this. Because I feel like really, I get really upset when that kind of stuff happens. I'm like, this was not your story to share. Why did you share that story? And then I feel shame and I'm like, oh my God, you know, all these people are going to know these things about me that I didn't really want them to know and they're going
to
judge me and blah, blah, blah.
Why
and
didn't
I'm
you
like,
want them to know, Harriet?
Exactly. Why did I want them to know? I'm going to tell my whole life story on my next podcast. And so nobody will be on public.
No matter what anyone says.
Nah, I already told you first. You heard it here first.
Episode 7.
I know, totally. Told you from day. So on the first day that I was born, that's how it's going to start. No, but I think that that's really important.
Yeah.
So you're a little gift, Lisa.
Oh, I just love doing this. This is so great.
I know. It's like, let's get some next time on our next podcast, the Lisa and Harriet show.
I
know. Okay. So what have we not said that still needs to be said before we kind of wrap up here?
I think my biggest message that I just wanted to convey, I know we speak to women a lot, but I want to just speak to all people because man, there's a whole lot of walks of life out there. And I just think that if we can just, I have really started, you know, exercising gratitude in my day to day. And, you know, I think that it's so easy to get caught up in what is exhausting me, what is taking from me, what is all the things I have to do and all the people I have to be there for, et cetera, et cetera. And I think a big way that I've shifted my perspective on that, and a big thing that's really fed my relationship with myself, mm-hmm. is A, I am capable to do all those things. So like, bless up, because mm-hmm. I am thankful for that. Because mm-hmm. there are a lot of things that I can do that there are people out there that wish that they could.
Totally.
And just every single person in this world.
Who wishes they had the opportunity to do what we're doing.
Right.
Yep. 100%.
And, you know, and I think that it's just shifting that perspective a little bit. And that being said, and I said this the last time we chatted too, was that, but if there are days that it does feel too much and that it's, yes, you are capable, but you're also allowed to take a break.